بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The princes are taken seriously. Fatal. Everybody lost hope. And she is the only successor to the throne. So that king has got two figures, two concern. One is, it is his daughter. And number two is, she is the only successor to the throne. So if she is gone, then there is no continuity to this kingdom. No continuity to my line. Kya hoga? So he employed the best physicians. Her health is just deteriorating. One medication of the other, and the health is just going down. Then he looked for the best of hospitals around the world, and the health is just dropping. All that finished, then he thought that perhaps it's some jinnat or some jadu. So he experimented that, he looked for solutions there, nothing is working. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, then a thought just passed his mind, that I tried everything, but did I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is the healer. The cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is just procedures. But the actual reality, making up of things, is Allah ta'ala's. The doctors also will tell you at some point that now it is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. So that statement of this also I don't like. When they say now it's in the hands of Allah ta'ala, that means before this it was in their hands. And from this point onwards now it's gone to the hands of Allah ta'ala. So shuru se keh dete bhai, it's entirely in the hands of Allah ta'ala, we'll help, we'll try and do something. But it's in the hands of Allah ta'ala, we'll try our best. No need to lose hope. When the thought struck the mind, at that part of the morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, then he didn't, not concerned about the crown that brings about the majesty and the greatness of the king, not concerned about the shoes, and he went straight to the masjid. See, this thought captivated him. The thought overwhelmed him. And I tried everything else. The healer is Allah Ta'ala, it's in his hand. Did I ever ask him? So when this thought had overwhelmed him, he went straight to the masjid. And he went to the masjid with all humility, no shoes, no crown. Straight. And the strange thing is, when you're coming to the house of Allah Ta'ala, no crown, but in spite of no crown, there's no frown as well. Within the heart, you feel a deep feeling of belonging, attachment and satisfaction. To go to the house of Allah Ta'ala, how much billions are paid just to reach up to the house of Allah Ta'ala. What difficulties people go through. Azdin fil nasi bil hajj. يَعْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. From all lean animals, from every deep mountain pass they'll come. So there's an attraction. So man has got a natural attraction with Allah Ta'ala, natural attachment. Now, the strange thing in this whole plan of Allah Ta'ala is, Allah Ta'ala is the owner of everything. Everything belongs to him. And he's not answerable to anybody. But in his wisdom, his knowledge and his compassion, then he's created structures for everything. For everything, there's systems and structures. He doesn't need to do it. Does he need to do it? Does he need to scale the deeds? Does he need the record books to be presented? Doesn't need. Does he need the services of the Munkar and Nakir? Does he need the services of the Kiram and Katibin? He doesn't need. But then, it's his wisdom, his compassion, his love for the creation that will create systems for everything. As you are ascending to the world, and there's a system for it also, a reminder, azan and takbir in the ears, right? All notice it. Then all these goals, just to remind you, alastu bi rabbikum, I'm not your Rabb. Then he's placed this as though it's alastu bi rabbikum, the chip is placed within your system. So at any point of time, any person, atheist or non-atheist, he must confess, must admit that there is a God. And when you were children, so in reunion, you know, we were living there, so there was a motor car accident. So child died. So the mother is crying, God, you did this to me, I won't worship you. But as a child, I laughed at the statement, because she admitted the existence of a God, number one. And number two is also, she admitted also that it happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala. Then her stupidity, I won't worship you. Kya faida? When she said this, she admitted there is a God. She admitted that there is Allah Ta'ala that does things. He makes things happen. But now it's a stupidity, I won't worship you. So, no matter what type of an atheist you are, but that's a chip that's planted deep within your system, and you can't delete it. You cannot eliminate that. Something, there's a little voice that's calling within you, Alastu bi Rabbikum. Not your Rabb. Something happens, right? And you'll hear this from whom? Allah! Some places they overtake us. Allah! Doesn't it happen? So they call out. So everybody recognizes, understands that there is a creator. Now, non-Muslims, sometimes you overhear when you're passing, so they are talking, right? Hey, Ijesu! Jesu! Now, wrongfully, they are calling Allah Ta'ala Jesu, right? They don't know. In the ignorance, they're calling it. But they're referring to God. So they also know, recognize that there is a God. They also understand there is an attachment. And that attachment can't be eliminated, can't be deleted, can't be broken down. So Allah has created those systems so that when the child is ushered in the world, then yuladu al-fitra. He's come to this world, he's come into this world on fitra, on Islam he's come. Meaning of fitrah, because there's different explanations, but one of the preferred explanation is that Islam, child is born as a Muslim. That is why our mutaakhirin, muhaddisin, all say that the child that died in his infancy goes to Jannah. The other statements, but the preferred opinion of all, is that the child that passed away in infancy, he goes to Jannah. Why? It was on Islam. Although many of the laws will not be applicable, but in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, he's died as a Muslim. The laws will not be applicable. Why? You don't want to read the child's janazah namaz. He's born in a Christian home, died in infancy. You're going to read janazah namaz. Right? Similarly, the child won't be a recipient for zakat. Can he be a recipient for zakat? Can't. So sometimes people coin certain words, and it is not right for them to just coin words of their own. They say, don't say he is a convert. Say he's a revert. What? Right, do you know the implications? You say convert and revert. When you say he was a Muslim, then at some point he reversed, right? So which point he reversed? You will say that he reversed with puberty, but because before puberty he was counted as a Muslim. So in all respects, if you say he was a revert, then that means he is a recipient for zakat. That means you are in charge of his janazah namaz. So just leave it as it were. Don't go and interfere with these things. See, a little knowledge is dangerous. Neem Hakim Khatra Jaan. Neem Hakim, the English, easy English word for it is a quack doctor, right? Quack doctor, he can be a cause for your death. I know two cases that happened here in South Africa. And I know personally now, because it was someone very close to both of them, where the specialist had administered penicillin. And both the patients went into a coma. One came up after that, didn't go into a full stop. And one went away after that, went into a coma and then full stop. So, Neem Hakim, right? So, similarly, Neem Mullah Khatra Iman. You don't know it very well, say, I don't know it very well. Don't go and experiment in your deen. I don't know it, I don't know khalas. Khalas is easy. Why should you take something additional upon yourself? This much I know, and beyond that I don't know it, end of the story. So, this is dangerous, especially for orators that are becoming a little bit more popular. Very dangerous. Because bayans that go around, they come here. Many times the bayans come here after that. Because wanting to verify, then now, my job is to tell them what is right and what is wrong. Otherwise, what's the job of the Mufti sahab? It's to show, right, this is wrong, out of context. So now I'm just showing you how mistakes happen, right? Study a little bit, hear a little bit here, even a small article there, and giving up. And please, by only talk about things that you are 100%, go and check it up. Otherwise, just speak on the 6 points. No consequence. But you don't know about it. You're 100%, you just read on kitab here, something there, something this side, and you're quoting. Aren't you creating a confusion? I know I had several complaints coming, right? And so, see, Allah Pak is so merciful. Now see how they get you, right? Allah Pak is so merciful, he's so compassionate. That for the Jannat is Khalidina fiha abada. Right? And for the Jahannam is Khalidina fiha. May yaqtul minam mut'ammidan wa jazaa'u jahannamu khalidan fiha. Right? So what they're saying that Khalidina fiha means for a long period they'll be in Jahannam, right? But the Quran said, didn't say that they would be there for eternity. See? Now the Moran is a speaking popular person, 4 or 5 complaints came here, but I must keep quiet. You know, he's speaking wrong. He made a mistake. Because for the Jahannami also, there's Khalidina fiha, but there are 3 places in the Quran Sharif. 3 places in the Quran Sharif. One is in Surah Nisa, for the last pages. فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ. Right? There's there, one in Surah Jinn. Right? Surah Jinn, again, you must check it up, this there. And one is in Surah Ahzab. لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Now, and I know where this thing is starting from. This whole thing started from Ibn Taymiyyah. We say Rahmatullah Ali, and we must say Rahmatullah Ali, but he made a mistake. When he made a mistake, so it's the duty to point out. Now, Ibn Taymiyyah's contemporary was Taqiyuddin Subuki rahmatullah alayhi. And he made a whole rad of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi. Right? I'm saying rahmatullah alayhi, but he made a rad in several issues. One was al-i'tibar fi baqa'i al-nari wal-jannah. It's one rad. The other rad was on talaqatu salas. Ibn Taymiyyah was not qail of talaqatu salas. So he made a rad. And the third rad that he made was ziyaratu rudati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was not qail of that as well. So Taqiyuddin Subkiyat made a whole rad of this. So now, he saw the need to make a rad. Now, are we now at the position that we can't make a rad of anybody? So he made a mistake. We respect the personality, whatever he is, but that doesn't mean that because he's that personality, therefore he had no flaws. He had a flaw, then you'll make rad of him. In the 1990s, then there was an Egyptian, very great alim, I don't remember his name now. So, he legalized photography, 1990s. So his own student wrote out a rad against him. Binori Sabram, they got the name, so I can't remember all his names. Binori Zakaria can remember names. Names and tarikh. Binori Ismail can remember. Sabram, he can't remember. And I just read 1-2 times, can't remember the names. Some things, if you read, continuously read, then you'll remember the names. Otherwise, tarikhi baate aur name, he has a rad jante hai. I'm just showing you the reference, you'll find the reference into there. But his student wrote so severe here that, see, that this person here, my ustad, he's written for photography. So from now till the day of Qiyamah, if anybody is going to be for photography, the sin is going to be his and my ustad's. Because he is the pioneer, he started it off. When he started it off, then he is liable for the man sanna sunnatan hasanatan fil Islam, man sanna sunnatan sayyatan. Now, our Gujarati communities cover up. Dang Pishol Kashalo. Right? It's right to cover up faults. If it's in his personal capacity, you cover it up. You don't go and publicize it. In his personal capacity, alright? You went to the movies, right? Now, quietly sneaked inside. He came out, he went away, right? Now, don't make a publicity of it, right? He did it quietly, he did it between him and Allah Ta'ala, don't make a publicity. But when it comes to the level where it's going to be affecting the aqaid and the belief, the amal or the belief, then he needs to be exposed. Comes the hadith again. There's two hadiths, one you'll find in the tafsir, you know that لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء. Under that you'll find one hadith there. That there you must expose. If it's at a public level. And the other is, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had received a guest, and Alana lahul qawl, Nabi spoke to him, well, but before he could come, Rasulullah said, Bi'sa akhul ashira, terrible person. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked, but just now you said, Bi'sa'ahul ashira, and when he came in, when you received him, then Alana lahul qawl, you spoke to him gently, you spoke to him nicely, kindly. So what was the reason? The reason is now obvious. The reason is now, say for example, that person had to come for a proposal, right? That same person came for a proposal, or he wants a credit facility from you, right? For credit, or he came for a proposal, right? So now you asking for reference. You asking for reference, Nabi spoke very highly of him, respected him. And then after that, if he took you for a ride then, or say no, Nabi spoke highly about him, so he's a good person to be doing business with. Right? And then he took you for a ride then, what's going to happen? Right? And now to make it more real, you know the person is drugging, right? He's drugging, he's humanizing, right? You know about it. Someone coming for a recommendation for his daughter. Very good person, mashallah. He got to know that you knew about it. What happened? I asked you to give me his background. He said, but you kept quiet. So your daughter is so important that if someone lets you down there, that you won't forgive him for the rest of your life. And your deen is so cheap that he does wrong, does every type of vice. But now, say, maintain the peace, don't go and talk about it. It's a mukhtalafi masla, etc., etc. Where's the reasoning? Is there justice in this? So anyway, you're talking about the princess. And the king at that part of the morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, he was ghabrat. Meri bachi ka kya hoga? Shahzadi ka kya hoga? Mar gayi to phir, ye to meri sultanat ka khatma hai. I don't have any kingdom after that. What's going to happen to me? The line is broken down and permanently severed. So, bare head, bare foot. So we understand that when you're beseeching Allah Ta'ala with all humility, ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya, with all humility, break yourself down. Allah Pak likes this, that you break yourself. This attitude thing, really, it doesn't work. You may think, no, I got my arguments, I got my reasoning, but it doesn't work with Allah Ta'ala. What works with Allah Ta'ala is your level of humility. What level of humility? Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. And when I'm preaching through the Quran, I see three places, the same narrative is being continued in three places. Right? You see in Adam alayhi salam, same thing. When it's brought to his attention, Rabbana zalamna. He didn't say, Allah Ta'ala, you know, I meant good. Right? I meant good. I didn't have any wrong agenda. Ma mana'akuma illa an takuna khalidaini. See. So, my intention was that I'll remain here and I'll remain in Jannah so that I can see you all the time. Now I'll be moved away. So I won't be blessed with your vision, O Allah Ta'ala. Ma nahakum anhuma illa an takuna malakaini aw takuna min al-khalidin. So the reason for the prohibition was that you don't become malaika or don't become eternal entities. So he could have used this on his defense. And I ask you that, is there anything wrong in that? He wants to see Allah Ta'ala. That muhabbat and the love for Allah is so much, it gripped his heart, he doesn't want to part away from that. So is that a wrong? So the mistake of a Nabi is not prompted because of temptation. It's not temptation. It is, most of the time, it is of extreme love. So that love is so much, at such a level, that they can't resist. They want to go out from me, can I see Allah again? This will happen. So let me just eat that thing and I'll live here forever. See that? So what prompted him? What was the catalyst? The catalyst was attachment. But now then, why was it counted as a wrong? It's counted as a wrong because, see, the hadith speaks about Rasulullah making sahu in namaz, right? La ansa walakin unassa li'usan, right? I don't forget. But I'm made to forget so that people get to know how to do it. Now, if there was no such a thing like making a mistake in namaz, then would you have known how to make sajda sahu? Now, Nabi Sallam was made to forget so that sajda sahu is illustrated before you, demonstrated right before you. Imam made a mistake and this is how he will cover up for it. Now, the question is then, how is the Nabi made to forget? Now that in Adam alayhi salam story, look at how it matches up. It matches up like this, that the Nabi's thought is deeply, deeply soaked in the love of Allah Ta'ala. And the depth of the depth of the love is such that it made him forget the rakat. And you're so absorbed into the love of Allah Ta'ala, that now you forgot, hey, do rakat ho gayi, ya teen rakat, either two rakats or three rakats. But now that's because of the istighraq of the Nabi.
So as though the Nabi was correct, but although that istighraq, although that deep attachment is great, but now it mustn't be such that you forget and you lose count of the rakats. Have that also, but have the count of the rakats as well. See, I tell the people, the work of a mufti is difficult. Because you can see now, he's a buzrug now. He's a big buzrug, right? But now, the mufti sahab is like the traffic control. He has to show that buzrug did wrong. He has to show it, like I showed Ibn Taymiyyah, great buzrug, right? Rahmatullah alayhi. As the Shah sahab, you should see about him. That he's so great, that when I think about his greatness, my topi will fall off. He's so great. He's so great now, and when I think of his greatness, he's so great, my topi will fall off. But he sees thereafter, but if he comes to the Darul Hadith, right, I won't allow him to come in. Because he spoke about istiwa. I won't allow him to speak. Rashi has to control that. He has to respect the person, but control the situation as well. Both he has to do. Now isn't that difficult? Now in the whole process, he can't disrespect, because that person is a buzrug, is a wali of Allah Ta'ala. So he has to maintain the respect, love him also, but show him, bhai, tumne bhool kar di. You have to be like Zul Yadain. Qusirat is salatu am nasita ya Rasulallah. Can you see that? Muslim has to be like Zul Yadain, or they call it Zul Shimali, right? It has to be like that. You know, my mind just went off like this. Right? So that Muslim has to show it, to correct it. At each point he has to show it. And he knows that what this person's maqam is too great. As Shah Sahib Rahman should say about Ibn Hajar Rahmatullah Alayhi, sometimes we have to make naqt on him, but we know that we are convinced that he is long, long ahead of us in Jannah, 500 years away, so far. But we have to make naqt on him sometimes. Though we know that this is maqam, and though we know that most of the jarah, ta'adil, etc., all that work was done by him. Nobody has done work at his level. Right? At his level, nobody has done some work. We have to recognize his position. But where there was a discrepancy, we have to correct him as well. See that? See how difficult the work is. To respect the person, correct him, understand his maqam and position, all that in one go, you have to do it. You can't compromise the respect, or can't disgrace the person, keep his maqam, and then to correct him after that. Easy work. Difficult work. So now, I have to say this thing, that because sometimes you hear, oh, this buzrug and his photo came in, something happened. So now, you can't lose the respect of that person, but you can't condone the action. You can't lose the respect, but you can't condone the action. Both things have to keep in mind. So you're talking about the king now, that part of the night, he is a real chakkar. Meri izzat ka sawal hai. Sultanat ki baka ka sawal hai. Is the continuity of the kingdom. What's going to happen? And bare head, no crown on the head, no shoes. That love and that attachment for the daughter is so much now, pushes him to the masjid. Bhai, apne dilon mein muhabbat ko paida karo. Our elders, they say, in this zamana, if there's a need for anything, there's a need for muhabbat. Sahaba kiram, they became sahaba, in my understanding, because largely because of muhabbat. Just one ishara, Rasulullah SAW didn't return the person's salam. And he got to know, even broke his buildings completely, destroyed it. Demolish the place. Just an ishara. The Muslim didn't have to ask him, you know, why did you put this thing up? He just got to know that Rasulullah is displeased because of this, and immediate effect when demolished. So what was the catalyst for our social? What was it? It was muhabbat. That muhabbat was so intense. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. That muhabbat, that attachment, is not a mild attachment. It is a very, very deep attachment. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. So when that attachment is like that, then I'm not looking at rand sense, I'm not looking at anything. Nothing makes sense to me. The muhabbat makes sense. Al-Mu'tami Sabram has quoted the hadith. I didn't see the reference, but he's quoted the hadith. You respect his authority. The man says, young sahabi says, I want to get married in that house. Right? Did you see her? No. We're not going to have a look. Now, he comes in and he says, Sahaba al-Kiram is so open, clear, no makeup. No, absolutely no makeup. I came to see your daughter. Someone tell you that, what will happen, right? So, obviously, the Sahabi felt a little bit difficult. Hey, man just says, upfront, came to see your daughter. So, the girl is sitting behind the parda somewhere and she shouted, Abba, don't ever stop him. If you stop him, that's your ruin. You know, look at who sent the man. But you see that muhabbat breaks down every type of barrier. The barriers are broken now. But that is when that love is like that. When muhabbat is there, then all those barriers are broken down. You know, who sent the person? Look at that. Don't look at the person. Who sent the person? Muhabbat. Al-Mu'tami Sabran says, one day I must just read that malfuz, you know. He says, in the earlier days, the greatest emphasis was on muhabbat and association. Even greater than instruction, you know, we teach, giving a bayan or something, that is instruction, right? Ta'lim. But the greater emphasis was on muhabbat and association. But now with these illustrations, you get to know why the greater emphasis was on muhabbat and association. Because now, if it's only ta'lim, it's only instruction, then your mind is working now. Why like this? Why not like that? Who said this? What authority he's got? What right he's got to tell me this much? So your mind is going to work. Your mind is going to work on logic and reasoning. But if your mind is soaked in love, muhabbat, and the muhabbat is very intense, then is it going to work on intelligence and reasoning? You know, mere pyare isko pasand karte, choro sab baaton ko, leave all that. That muhabbat, we didn't invest in that muhabbat. That muhabbat has to be so intense. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah's uncle used to call him Mamu Imdad, you know. So, he was a little bit of Majzoob type, you know. I'll get some, Majzoob doesn't mean mad, but they're so deep in their work, dunya mafia se munqati ho jate. They're not worried about the world. What the world has to say and whatever, they're not worried. So that Mamu Imdad Sahib, he's of that category, a little bit of a Majzoob type, doesn't know too much about the world. So you know what's happening. Yeah, what's happening? So you know your sheikh, your sheikh, he means zina, man. So look at his response and compare it with our response. Now today, Hazrat, you know they said you made zina. You really made zina. That's muhabbat, isn't it? That's today's muhabbat. Hazrat, will you do this? Because this is what people are saying. Now look at his response. That when the muhabbat is intense, then it's a different thing. Then there's no barriers then. And this is is cheez ka intizar hai. So his immediate response is Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. What a good piece of information you have brought to me. So because you know, I see my sheikh didn't get married. I thought, you know, he's not a full man. You know? Manhood, he doesn't have the manhood. Although the sheikh normally, he is the vicegerent deputy of the Nabi. And the Nabi is the perfect person. Do you see any flaw, physical flaw in the Nabi? Do you see him completely blind, deaf. You don't see that. There's no physical flaw on a Nabi, right? Like he's perfect spiritually, then physically also he's totally perfect. So up to now, I was a little bit doubting, you know. But now that you said, hey, mashallah, I've already confirmed that his manhood is perfect. Now if he makes zina, one time he does astaghfirullah, everything is wiped off, finished, khalas. See, so he may have not had full information, but I asked you, could you ever count him down, could you count him off for his muhabbat and attachment? Now compare this to our muhabbat. Our muhabbat is not there. That's why in this day, the Shaykh also doesn't have that attachment with all of his murids. Because they don't have that level of attachment that is desired. I'm just illustrating how it happens. Right? If that muhabbat was there, then it would have been a different thing altogether. Because of the deficiency of muhabbat, your mind goes in all this different directions. If the muhabbat was complete, then your mind wouldn't have gone. Now your mind will work in all different directions. And now, you're talking of the elections, right? So, internationally, it's just a convenience thing. It's just a convenience. Where you find the convenience, you do that, right? So, it was a convenient thing, right, to be against Palestine. So someone went against Palestine. It was a convenient thing to be pro-Palestine, right? Can you see? One finds the convenience to be pro, and one finds the convenience to be against, right? But the political agenda requires that both the parties join up. Can you see that? So, it's not about your allegiance. It is about the convenience. Not the allegiance, the convenience. What does the convenience require? And now, in spite of our difference, let's join up. Although I hate the guts here, I hate the guts of these people here. But where does the political advantage lie? So our minds have become like politicians. Our minds are corrupt. Don't blame them, blame yourself. La talumuhum wa lumu anfusakum. Don't blame them, blame yourself. Your mind is also just about a convenience, where you find your convenience. Now, he's going to the masjid at that time of the night, made a few rakats, and then he's in sajda. 1.5-2 hours, just pleading to Allah Ta'ala, pleading, Allah. And then he finds some tranquility and serenity settling on his heart. So he understands that it's a moment of the acceptance of dua. And he finds a deep sense of serenity, tranquility. And then as he's reaching home, then he sees the princess standing up, moving around, wanting to eat, laughing, smiling. See that? So, do kis cheez ka intizar? So, if you look at the world today is embroiled in some problem or the other. On the eastern end, there's Russia problems, right? Right? We hear about what's going on. Europe, you see, financially, it's all corrupt and bankrupt. Whole Europe has fallen down. London, people from London come here and they say, we don't know whether to eat or to heat. That's the state, what? Whether to eat or to eat, whether they get the salary at the end of the month. Things are so tight there. We don't know whether to eat or to heat. The Mullah came from Greece. He said, you're complaining about the roads here. Yeah, you got potholes. There you got dig holes. It's so big. It's so difficult there. Talking about the fuel prices here, it's 22, 23 rands, about 40 rands, I said. So, make shukari what you got. You deserve much more, less, more, worse. But Allah has shown so much of kindness. So that's happening there in Europe, right? Then if you look at America is over $35 trillion bankrupt in the areas. It takes about $5 trillion to run the entire world. Now look at the bankruptcy there. $35 trillion, huh? Then if you look at the Middle East, it's embroiled in problems again. So whichever part of the world you're looking now, presently, there is some problem. Problem here, problem that side, everywhere is problem. You can't show me one place where there is no problem. There's going to be some problem. Some is mild, some is serious, some is known, some is not known. But there is some problem. just that we get to know about it. We need to know about it. But otherwise, these problems, some way or the other, some type of problem, some we know, some we don't know, but they are problems. Right? Now, Allah Ta'ala is the creator of man. The whole plan, the whole system is Allah Pak's. When the whole system is Allah Pak's, so if there's a problem, there's a crisis, then there's a solution. Because it's His plan, there'll be a crisis and there'll be a solution. So, now our problem is that we look at the crisis and everybody will give his 2 cents. You know, this is the news here, this is what happened here, this is what happened here. So Rama said, and so Chinsami Sahib and Munsami Sahib said. So we all know about that, right? We all talk about it. But now, I ask you, is it fair what we're doing? We invest about 9/10 of our time in discussing the news. 9/10. Right? And maybe 2 minutes we'll talk about make dua for them. In the khutbah, I think most of the khutbah, Allahumma suril muslimina fi kulli makan, suril mujahideen fi kulli makan. 99% of the people don't know what's going on. Maybe the person that's making dua, also, he doesn't know what's going on. It's a repetition of a few words, and finish. Next Jummah we'll make dua for you again. So look at your time management. Your 95% is gone towards just talking about the crisis and the problems, and not even 1% is towards making dua for them. I ask you, is that the right thing? Now, what conditions had overtaken the people of Musa alayhi salam, similar conditions will overtake us as well. لَتَتَّبَعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Conditions had overtaken them will come over you. Right? They had the Fir'aun and we had the Abu Jahl, right? Right? They had the Egyptians against them and the Muslims had the Quraysh against them, the leaders of the time against them. Same conditions. Musa alayhi salam was Sahibu Zawji wal Aulad, Rasulullah was the same. Musa alayhi salam had to make jihad, Rasulullah had to make jihad. Musa alayhi salam had to take refuge in Madian for 8 or 10 years, and Rasulullah had to take refuge as well. Right? Rasulullah came back victorious, Musa alayhi salam came back, and in a few days he was victorious again. Right? So similar conditions. So why is Allah Ta'ala speaking to us about Musa alayhi salam? Because that's the precedent. This is where you're going to take your lesson from. You see him, see what he did. There was a problem, there was a crisis, and what did he do? Therefore he said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. All guided. So you just follow them. You follow them. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. You want to follow them. You want a lesson. You want a precedent. What you must do? Follow these people. Labak has already endorsed them. So, Musa alayhi salam, people complain, أُذِينَا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَأْتِيَنَا. I mean, ba'di ma ji'tana. We always had problems. Before you came to us, we had problems. Right? Some Egyptian had a dream that a fire came out. It was burning down every home of the Egyptian, sparing the Israelite and burning down the home of. So they interpreted the dream that one person will come out from here and wipe us out. So let's wipe them out. Nuqattilu abna'ahum wa nastahi nisa'ahum. We'll wipe out the main boys born. And we'll slaughter in front of the mother. Girl is born, then we'll spare them because we need to use them as mamas. Humiliation. Can you see that? See that? Use them as domestic servants. So, they're complaining that before you came also we had problems. Now that you came to us, then too we had problems. Because then it was a case when Musa alayhi salam came in and he challenged. And in one morsel, his serpent or his staff had swallowed all those forgeries, everything was in one, in just one morsel, everything was wiped out. Father, he got Gabrat now. Okay, what's going to happen to this kingdom now? In one stroke, and the whole thing is wiped out. Again, they repeated the whole thing. Nuqattilu abna'ahum wa nastahi nisa'ahum. We're going to kill their children, the males, and spare the women, because we need someone to work for us. Now, they complained to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam gave them 2 advice. One is a prediction, one was advice. The prediction was, Asa rabbukum ay yuhlika aduwakum. Wa yastakhlifakum. Prediction was, Just now this will be wiped out. They'll be displaced, right? And you will be placed. What? You will be placed and they will be displaced. Right? He will take the seats. But he doesn't end there. For yanzura kayfa ta'mal. He's going to see about how your behavior. You're complaining about them. Ye nalayk badtameez. To aapko dekhenge ki tum bhi badtameezi karte ho. See your behavior. For yanzura kayfa ta'mal. We didn't displace them because we got a personal vendetta and hatred for them. No. But because of the oppression. So we're going to see, you are complaining about them, how do you behave? And the second piece of advice was, Istaino billah. Allah Ta'ala said, dua karo, mango. That's what I said. 99% of our time is viewing the media, etc. And then our whole contribution to the Gaza is that, obviously. Yeah, you know, guys, what we did. But tu ne kya kya? On a personal level, what you do? Alright, you may have given something, very good, mashallah. But apart from that, the Quranic advice was, istai, make dua. I ask you fairly, how many of us made dua at least for 3 minutes, one day in our life, for this whole thing? 3 minutes. But 30 hours went away, talking about these things here, and 3 minutes did we dedicate with the heart and mind, dua for the Gaza people, or for whichever Muslims are oppressed. Did we ever do it? And are we wrong or not wrong? Are we fair to the Quran? Are we fair? Are we fair to ourselves? Are we fair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That 99 hours we are given over here, not even 10 minutes, not even 5 minutes, that our heart and soul was in dua for them. I ask you, because your child, you just spoke about the atrocities of the jailers, oh, you would have cried to Allah. What would you have done? So this dua, istighfar and dua. Right? And I say that istighfar is required. For yourself, for the Muslims, for these people, don't consider yourself to be holier than thou, no. Ourselves, the Muslims, and the oppressed, we make dua for all, and ask forgiveness for all. Allah Pak likes them. And I say, 3 places in the Quran Sharif, this narrative has been continued. One I said about Adam alayhi salam, and just mentioned it, right? Second, Nuh alayhi salam. Inni, auzubika as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilm. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي. See that? Admission of guilt and plea for forgiveness. Can you see that? أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَسْأَلَكَ مَالِسِ وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي. See that? Admission of guilt. Now today the kamal is the achievement. You know, I can make up a story in front of Allah Ta'ala. Exactly what Shaitan did. He made up a story. I see we are in the line of Nuh alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, or Shaitan al-Lana. Whose line have we taken? So that's the second place. And the third place, that the same thing is repeated again. And where we asked, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. Musa alayhi salam, right? Musa alayhi salam could have made a beautiful story for his defense. He could have said, Allah Ta'ala, you love justice. And I fought for the cause of justice. In the process, the man died. يَسْتَدْعِفُونَ طَائِفَةً مِنُمْ. Can you see that? They were all being downtrodden. And I stood up for the cause of justice. I had no intention to kill him. But then, when he saw this, what he said, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي. Can you see that? Admission of guilt, and straight away ask for forgiveness. Can you see that? Admission of guilt, and straight away ask for forgiveness. Now, do we do that? Or we try and appease, this must have happened like this, you know, I fought for the cause of justice, and Allah will overlook this thing here. It's not a serious thing, it's not a train smash. Our reasoning and their reasoning. Our thinking, are we on the same page or not? So it comes back again by muhabbat or ta'alluq ki kami hai. Agar muhabbat sahi hota, if the muhabbat was right and the association was right, then we would have been on the same page. Our thinking would have been the same. But there is some deficiency either in the muhabbat or the ta'alluq. That's why our minds are not working right. So that was the first piece of advice that Musa alayhi salam gave, and we are asked to follow him. Istaeenu billahi wasbiru. Second piece of advice, wasbiru. Right? Wasbiru, the sabr got a variety of meanings. But the most comprehensive meaning that I found is be steadfast, remain steadfast. Now because of all these atrocities and all, don't have a compromising attitude. No, ye kya kahega and who ye kya kahega. No, no. Be steadfast in your ways. don't blurt out, don't behave in a compromising manner. Abu Muslim Khulani, understand, he's being challenged on the fire, but he is standing on his guns, right? Prepared to go into the fire. But did he compromise? No compromise. Stood firm. Now my family, what will they say if I don't get into a mixed gathering, don't pose for a photo, a little bit of music, I'll make a istighfar afterwards. See? Did he have that? No. I'm not for this. I ask you, by posing for the photograph, music, mixed gatherings, all that, I ask you, if there were women going into that gathering and there were naked women dancing there, would you remain there? Say, no, my family, and what will they say? Or you'll take a U-turn. So what's the difference between music and this? Is there a different God here and a different God there? Or the Allah Ta'ala is the same? Is the Allah Ta'ala that prohibited this? Didn't he prohibit this? So then what's the discrepancy? Why here your whole attitude is different? And why is your attitude different there? Is there any reason for that? So that was the second thing. Istaeenu billahi wasbiru. Then the third line says, Innal arda lillah. Understand that the land belongs to Allah Ta'ala. It's not because about the count of your numbers, no. That someone will come into position. No, not, it doesn't work like that. Yurisuha mayish. Allah Pak will appoint. Whoever he wants, he'll appoint. But then you have to do these things. The last piece of advice, that is most pertinent. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. The right results are for the righteous. And righteous means, and tadhara ma turibuka ila ma la turibuka. Right? That you leave the things that you're not keen about. I don't know about this, I stay away. I'm not going to experiment. My life means too much for me. So I'm not going to experiment with AIDS water.